I'd like to welcome you to the ministry of McCormick's Creek Church. We certainly hope that you will enjoy this selection.
How many of you are glad that you're in church? I mean, is there any better place than to be in the house of the Lord? I want you to think about that just for a moment. Can you think of any place that's better than being in the presence of Jesus? There's no better place. Our worst service, and I don't even know how you can even put that in the same sentence, but our deadest services are so much way better than your best day in the world. The world has an odd opinion about what a good time is. A good time to the world is to go out and get drunk, drugged up, and the next day they don't even remember what happened the night before. They wake up with a headache, they wake up with a hangover, they wake up depressed with the same problems they've always had. But in the church, my goodness, we could come in here and we can worship the Lord, and the Lord moves and changes and breaks the chains of darkness. I'm thankful this morning that we have that right and we have that ability to come in here and touch the throne room of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel we could have done more songs, and I'm not trying to hurry you up to go to make you go eat. But I feel this morning that I have something I want to deliver to the saints of Jesus this morning, and I'm excited for what's going to happen. We're going to baptize Sister Haley this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we baptized Brother Diego and Brother Brian in Jesus' name. And I am so thankful. I am so thankful that in the middle of what this world is calling a pandemic, that we are still able to see revival. It tells me that the devil cannot stop the church. He cannot stop the church. And he thinks he can. He's going to do everything in his power. But I'm thankful that he's on a short leash this morning. Before I have a few announcements. But before I do that, I want to pray for Brother Sheets. He's here this morning, but he is in a lot of pain this morning, and he has been for days. He's been to the doctor a couple times. They don't know what's wrong with him. His shoulders just absolutely just it's horrible. He can't sleep at night. He's moved from chair to the bed, from the bed to the different. See, he just can't get any comfort. And I want everybody that has the ability. I want you to stand to your feet this morning, and I want you to extend your hand to Brother Earl this morning. We're going to pray that the Lord will heal him in Jesus' name. I may believe that right now, that the Lord could touch him right now. I want you to pray for him right now in the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray right now that you would touch Brother Earl. I pray that you would touch his body. I pray that you would take this discomfort away, whatever's causing the problem, whatever is hurting him right now. In Jesus' name, I pray that you would touch him, touch his body by the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for your healing power, your healing touch. We give you all the glory and all the power. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't want to get your name wrong, but it's Brother Terry, right? Brother Terry, it's good to have you here this morning in Sunday school with us. He is a guest with the Roland family and the Harrington family. We're thankful to have him. And I'm just thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be here. And I am thankful to see Brother and Sister Caldwell. It's certainly not the same without them. So good to see you here this morning. And just keep, Brother Joe has a guest with him. And what's your name, sir? Samuel. Well, we're thankful to have you here this morning. Bless you for being here. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please open up to the book of Acts chapter 2. I didn't finish my message that I was going to preach last week. I love it when that happens. I used to hate it when that happens. I used to not like it at all when the Lord pushed me out of my comfort zone, because I have all these notes that I take the time to write, and then God comes in here and He interrupts them. And then I have to tell Him, I say, "What, Lord, I wrote all these good notes. Why in the world did you interrupt my message?" And the Lord has to always remind me, which I don't tell Him that, but He always reminds me, "Look, I'm going to have my way regardless." See, when I do it my way, Brother John, it just messes up. But when the Lord does it His way, then it's done right. And so He's going to do it right this morning. Just for a moment, just for a few moments, I need you to take your mind off of chicken. And I need you to take your mind off of food. We're going to get there. We'll go over there and we'll eat. And we'll get to fellowship. But I want to, Brother Davis actually come up to me Sunday morning, and he reminded me as to why I'm here, in a good way, in a supportive way. And I don't do this often enough. As a pastor, it is my job to cast vision to this church. It's my job to cast vision. And I wanted this morning to tell you what I believe that the Lord wants us to become. And that is an apostolic church. How many want to be an apostolic church? You know, I've heard people say, "Well, it doesn't matter what name's above the door, and it doesn't matter what you call yourself." And I understand to some degree, but I am a part of an apostolic church. I'm an apostolic. I preach the same doctrine, the same message that the book of Acts, that Paul told us to preach in Galatians 1:8, said, ye or an angel preach any other doctrine than what we preach. He said, you let them be damned or let them be accursed. And that was an apostolic message that he preached. So I'm thankful that I am apostolic. When you call yourself Pentecostal, that can, no, don't get me wrong. I like the name Pentecost, but that can be a generic term. Because I've seen people call themselves Pentecost that weren't apostolic. But I am a part of an apostolic church. I'm thankful for that. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my hand servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I want to go to Acts 2:47. The Bible says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And this is part two. This is an extension from last week. I want to preach to you just for a while. God's intent for the last day church. God's intent for the last day church. I wonder if you just raise your hands with me, and I want you to just pray for your pastor just for a moment, that I would be able to convey this morning what I'm supposed to say to you. Lord, I pray that you would touch my spirit, touch my mind, touch my heart, touch my mind, and help me to get out of what you want me to say. Lord, I pray that you would help the church to receive what you want them to receive. And I'm asking you that by the precious name of Jesus. We give you all the glory and all the praise. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated in Jesus' name. There's something that I am learning to do as a pastor, and that is this, that I have to have church and worship and do what I am supposed to do despite of how I am feeling. Brother Tony, if I personally had church based on how I felt, then I would rarely have church. If I worshiped Brother John based on how I felt, I would rarely worship God. If I sang joyfully praises, Sister Cindy, based on how I felt, I would very rarely sing joyful songs. God is calling the apostolic church in this last day to react not based on how we feel, but by what we know. Hear me. It is time for the apostolic church to base their decision to worship God not how we feel, but by what we know. And we know that God is great and greatly to be praised. The Bible says that the Lord reigneth, so let the earth rejoice. It tells me that I don't need any other reason to rejoice and worship God. There are too many people that are waiting on a feeling or waiting on goosebumps for them to worship God. They're waiting on somebody else to stand and worship God. They're waiting on somebody else to stand up and give God praise. Hear me. God is calling His church to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth despite what we feel. I'm going to preach beyond my feeling. Right now, I don't feel like preaching, but I'm going to preach because it's the right thing. I'm going to worship God despite all the pain in my life. Come on, you've got to get what I'm saying this morning. Hear me. If Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego based their worship on what they felt, they would still be laying in the bottom of a fiery furnace, burn up. But because they pushed beyond a feeling, what bound them literally burned off in the middle of the fire. And Jesus met them right in the middle of their worst tragedy. And they saw apostolic anointing and revival. That goes the same with Daniel. Daniel worshiped and prayed right in the middle of a den of hungry lions. Hear me. We cannot wait after we see a victory and worship God. We've got to worship despite of what's going on around us. And that is a sign of an apostolic church. All right. Got it. Feeling too many people base how they react to the presence of God based on how they feel. And right now in this world that we're living in, there's not a whole lot of joy. There's a lot of uncertainty. My goodness, you go to the grocery store and you'll find that there's not too many joy. You can't see people smiling because you see masks on people's faces. And I went into the store yesterday and I wore the mask. I went to TJ Maxx. I went to other places and I wore the mask. And I didn't want to wear a mask, but I wore the mask because I was tired of getting looks. I was tired of getting people, shaming me for not having a mask. And I thought maybe it's because I was ugly. But they maybe they wanted me to wear a mask. But no, they wanted me. Where everywhere you go, you'll find that people are not very happy. And they're not very joyful. And it's a sad thing when you come to church, not here, but when you go to church and you see people of God and they don't have any joy. I'll tell you what. It's because they have lost their praise. See, if you can praise God despite your circumstances, you can have joy 24/7. See, the devil knows. The devil knows how to get us down. If he can rob us of our praise and worship, he'll take your joy. Here I go again. I'm preaching before my notes. But I feel led to tell you this, that our problem as a church as a whole is that we have got to find our joy. Too many people walking around depressed. Too many people walking around feeling down and lost the joy and their smile. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if you want joy of your strength back, you've got to find your joy.
Very good.
Here's the problem. You can't have joy until you find your praise. I'll say it again. You can't have joy until you find your praise. But what we're waiting on is we're waiting on a reason to praise. And it's not going to come until we find a reason or a time to praise God despite of what's going on. That's... I believe that God has given that ability to our seniors and our elders. We need them because they have the ability to worship God despite of what's going on around them. They have the faith. And I believe that is the key to apostolic revival, is to find our joy. I'll tell you what attracts people to a church is that while the church or the world is living in pain and anguish and frustration and depression, is that they can look at the church people and say, what's going on with those people? They've got something that I lack. They've got something that I need. That's what draws most people to the church. And people in the church that don't have the joy of the Lord are going to be people that aren't going to be great soul winners. Imagine that. We claim we have Jesus. We claim we got apostolic authority. We claim we've got God. We claim we got the most powerful presence in the world, which is the Holy Ghost. And they look at us and they go, wow, wow. If they're sad, my goodness, why in the world do I want with them? I'm already sad myself. Why would they want something that we don't look like we have? It's time for the apostolic church to find our joy. And I believe that comes with the ability to worship despite what's going on in our world. I know I sound like I'm beating a dead horse. I'm telling you that we as the people of God need to find a reason to rejoice. This past year, my goodness, the disease COVID is minute for me. It's small in comparison to me losing my mother. The riots in the streets, I'm not happy with it. And it can depress me if I keep looking. But that's small and minute compared to me losing my mother. I'd give every dime that I have to get her back. But I'm not going to see her until I get on the other side. But hear me. I cannot live in that moment. And I can't walk around for the rest of my life depressed because I lost my mother. I've still got to find my praise, and I can still have joy despite of my pain and my sorrow in my life. We've got to get our joy back. First thing that we have to have is, if we're going to have apostolic revival, is our church's church. Let me just say our church, because we are one church despite of our single building, that we are part of the church in Ellisville that Brother Judd Sears pastors and that Brother Hawkins pastors. And we're part of the same church that Brother King pastors. We're all one church. So I'm just going to say our church. Our church as a whole needs to be churches of vision. Not a church that looks to the past. Not a church that lives in the past. Not a church that dwells on a day that we think was a better day in our life. But vision is not for yesterday. Vision is for tomorrow. Yeah. We have got to live with an anticipation. We have got to live with an expectation. I'm telling you today in the Holy Ghost that we have got too many churches that live with the mentality, well, our forefathers and my grandpa, what he told me about apostolic revival when we had tent revivals in Brush Harbor meetings. I'm thankful for that. I'm grateful for that. Just be honest with you. I don't want to have church outside when it's 98 degrees. Brother Duras, I know you love hot weather. I know you love the humidity. You've told me that a million times, but I'm thankful for air conditioning. I'm thankful for air conditioning. I'm thankful for that. I don't know who invented that, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful for Brother Larry that comes in and gets this air on. Could you imagine coming here and not having air conditioning? But we've got people, hear me, we've got people that have church with a mentality, boy, I wish we had church like they used to, as if they used to not have problems, as if they used to not have issues. I mean, I grew up in a pastor's home, and we still had issues 34 and 40 years ago. We had problems and issues. But the people, what we have got to do is we have to have something in the forefront of our mind with a spirit of expectation. And it's a sad thing, Brother Davis, if people have a good church service these days, a lot of times it's simply by accident. And it's not on purpose. Yeah, but you know what? Let me tell you the difference. I know we're limited right now. We don't have church service on Sunday nights, and we're only able to have church Sunday mornings and on Wednesday nights. But you can feel, for y'all that's been around apostolic for a long time, you can tell the difference in the feel and the vibe of the church service. Sunday morning versus Sunday night. Our church, I've been here for 24 years, and I've come here that long, and yeah, we've had good services Sunday mornings, but our church has always been pretty much geared to have great services on Sunday night. You all know what I'm talking about. I mean, people running the aisles, people receiving the Holy Ghost, people getting baptized. It was rare that we even baptized people on Sunday morning. And we were just geared to have church Sunday night. And I've analyzed that. I thought, what in the world is the difference? And I know Bible Wednesday nights, a Bible study, it's more laid back. And I'll tell you what the difference is that people don't come to church with an expectation and anticipation. I've heard people say it, and I've said it myself. Whoa, you think we had church Sunday morning? You should come Sunday night. Don't get scared on Sunday night. You may get people go crazy and people shout, people dance and roll in the aisles. I remember Brother Spees. I'll never forget it. When I first came here. I remember it was. I'll tell you exactly where it was at. It was right there. It was right here. I remember. You know why I remember it? Because I was sitting right there, and Brother Spees, the only guy I ever seen that could roll uphill. That takes talent. I mean, it doesn't take much talent to roll down that hill. But he rolled up the hill, back down and back up. And I thought, my goodness, this is an amazing place. And I wanted to be here. I wanted to come back. I love this church. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. But people usually did that on Sunday night and not on Sunday morning. And I thought, as a pastor now, I sit back and analyze and go, well, why didn't this happen? And why didn't we have good church today? And last week we had church. I'll tell you why. It's because a lot of times, most of the time, it's because when we do have good services, it's kind of by accident. But when there's some anticipation in the room, that's why revivals, when we have special speakers, man, we have a really good time. That's because you spend a lot of time gearing up and expecting. You have something in the forefront of your mind that we are going to have good church. And then it happens. That's called expectation. That's called anticipation. What I'm talking about is a church with a vision that says, you know what? I'm going to church tonight and I'm going to have good service. I'm not coming here and I'm not leaving until I get a blessing. That's the people that have apostolic revival. You got to anticipate something. You got to expect something. The man that was laid at the gate daily, Bible says Peter and John walked by, and the Bible says he expected to receive something from them. The awesome part was that he was expecting something else, but he got something else. Here's the key. He had his hand out. He anticipated something. It may not have been what he got, but it was what he needed. And we got too many people that come to church with no vision and no expectation. They don't even know why they're here. They just come here. But my goodness, if we would just do what they did on the day of Pentecost when Jesus told them in Acts 1 and 8, he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem until I send my comforter. And the Bible says they tarried there until that word tarry, man, we're scared of that word. We don't like it. Because when you tarry something, when you tarry, not tarry, but you pray until. And that's the until is what we don't like. The Bible went on to say, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And suddenly, see, we want the suddenly without the until. You understand what I'm saying? We want things now and we want the suddenly, but we don't want to do what it takes to get to the suddenly. We want apostolic revival, but we're not willing to take the journey. We want the joy, but we're not willing to worship for it. The Bible says jump for joy, clap for joy. We need joy, but we need to do what it takes to get it. And that feels maybe like a little more of a teaching session, but I'm trying to tell you, teach you how to enter in. There has to be a spirit of anticipation. There needs to be a purpose. Because without a purpose in our forefront, we're just gonna go through life very lax and very relaxed. I think it was last week that I made mention that David shows up at the battlefield, and the one thing that the army of the people of God lacked was vision. Where do you find that at, Brother Hill? I'll tell you where. The word vision and the word cause comes from the same root. David shows up at the battlefield. For 40 days, the people of God, the men of God, these men of God were used to seeing victory. They were used to seeing miracles, signs, and wonders. Can you imagine that? They're part of the same people of God that seen the greatest miracles that ever took place throughout the New Testament. And they got the God, the same God that fed them with bread in the wilderness. The same God. They knew all these stories. The same God that parted the waters. These are the same people. And all of a sudden they find themselves hiding behind rocks. Do you know what kind of people that hide out and are fearful? People that don't have vision. David said, where's the vision at? Where's the cause at? Is there, remember, he said, is there not a cause? Look, you're hiding and you're fearful in your spirit simply because you have lost your vision. People that don't have vision will die. Helen Keller, she was both blind and deaf, and she overcame these handicaps, if you want to call it a handicap, limitations. And she raised money for the blind through her sale of books and her lectures. She wrote books. She was blind and deaf. She still wrote books. And she sold her books, and she raised money. She was once asked, what's worse than being blind, Helen? You know what she said? She said, the worst thing about being what's worse than being blind? She said, the thing that's worse about being blind is having sight, but not being able to see. And we are full of people in our churches that have sight, but they don't have vision. I remember, brother, it was Brother Stanley. Can I pick on you for a minute, Brother Stanley? When he was at the school of blind, when he was younger, he would come to school. He'd go to school and he would say, I saw the ball game. I saw the IU ball game last night. It was great. He'd tell him the score. Every time I see Brother Stanley, you know what he says to me? It's good to see you, Reverend Hill. Here, I'm going to pick on you, Brother Stanley. When he first told me that, I thought, what? He can't see me. He told me one time, he said, I watched that National Geographic, whatever it was. I remember and I thought, wow, he watched it. But the school of blind teachers kept saying, Stanley, stop saying you saw the ball game because you didn't see the ball game. What they were wanting him to do was embrace the physical reality of his limitations. What'd you tell him? Do you understand what I'm saying? That you can be without physical vision and you can have limitations in your life, but you can still anticipate and you can still see. Stop saying you're sick. Say you're healed. Stop saying you're limited, but say you've got a God that's beyond everything. Stop saying you can't. Stop saying our church services are not like they used to be. Start saying we've got a God that sent us revival. We're baptizing people in Jesus' name in the worst pandemic of the United States has ever seen. Stop saying we can't. Hallelujah. 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 Listen to me. I'm telling you right now in the Holy Ghost. I've struggled in the last 20 minutes I was preaching. But I'm telling you right now in the Holy Ghost, we haven't seen the best days of McCormick's Creek. It's in front of us. We're going to have apostolic revival. Every devil in hell scared to death of this church. We may have empty seats, but guess what? They're going to fill up. I'm not living in tomorrow. I'm not living in tomorrow. Brother Krause Jr., we're not living in tomorrow. And you know what? I talked to a pastor the other day. He said, man, listen, I asked him, I said, what do you do with bad services? He said, man, that's a tricky one. He said, you've got to live your tomorrow like yesterday did not happen. He said, in other words, he said, if you had a service that was dead last week, he said, you've got to anticipate a service that's going to be the greatest service you've ever had. Well, guess what? We've got to have it. Stop living in the yesterday. I said, stop living in the yesterday. Matter of fact, stop living in the 5 minutes ago. And Mary and Martha lived in the 5 minutes ago. They'd have still had their brother in the tomb. But when Jesus showed up, what he was trying to tell them when he was 4 days late in their mind. See, they was continually dwelling on a dead past. What Jesus was trying to tell them, he said, you know what? It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. They said, well, he's 4 days gone and there's no hope. Jesus said, you don't understand something. You know me as a healer, but you don't know me as the resurrection and the power. And I come to tell somebody today, I don't care how dead your situation is or how long your situation is, Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And as long as there's breath in our life, we've got a better tomorrow. We've got to have vision. That's what we've got to do is we've got to start seeing our young people as great men and women and ministry of the gospel. You know, we treat our young people sometimes, I'm not saying you, but we treat our young people as just young kids. They're just kids. Let me tell you what we've got here. We've got young men and women here that have so much potential. They are the greatest church among us. They are going to be a part of an apostolic church like we have never seen. And what we have got to do is we've got to start treating them like they're such. These are our future. This is the church of now and tomorrow. You know, a lot of times we start measuring people. When I say we, I'm talking about the apostolic church of the whole. We have a tendency to look at the neighboring church and measure ourselves after them. Well, they're having apostolic revival. What's wrong with us? That's why Jesus said not to compare ourselves with one another. I'm thankful the churches next door that are have an apostolic church. But the book of Acts church, the true book of Acts church, we need to start looking at the template, which is Jesus Christ, which was the chief cornerstone. And his church had a church of vision. A church of anticipation. We can't measure ourselves off of the church of our neighboring town, but we've got to measure our church off the book of Acts. Amen. And they were a church of vision. Yeah, it was great. We baptized 120 yesterday. What are we going to do tomorrow? 3,000. And 3,000, that would have been an accomplishment, wouldn't it? That would have been wonderful. Oh, we could have bragged about that. What are you going to do tomorrow? 5,000. Oh, my goodness. How can you outdo that? What are you going to do tomorrow? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and we're going to have church every single day. Every single day of the year, we're going to be an apostolic church. Yesterday, I was supposed to baptize. It didn't get to happen because something happened. I was supposed to baptize Sister Allender's nephew in Jesus' name. On a Saturday, when we weren't supposed to have church. What are we going to do tomorrow? I'll tell you what we're going to do is we're going to look to, and find somebody, Brother Davis, to witness to and for somebody to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's how we're going to live every single. What are you going to do? We're going to continue to have church. It is the will of God for the church to open their eyes, according to Luke 4:18, to have an open vision. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty to them that are abused. But it is the will of Satan to try to blind us. It's taken our vision away. He consumes us. I'll tell you, and I'm getting ready to read the scripture, but how he does it is he uses the junk that's in our lives. We get so consumed with the issues that are around us, and we're so focused on that, that we're missing good things. And I'm trying to learn how to embrace the now and the things that Jesus is doing right now, Brother Krause. I'm getting ready to baptize somebody in Jesus' name in about 10 minutes. The church said, oh, it's just another person we're baptizing. No big deal. No, it's a huge deal. I said, we're getting ready to baptize somebody in Jesus' name. I'm glad for your excitement and stuff, but hear me. You know what? We liken great miracles to seeing the dead raised. That'd be a great miracle. Anybody ever seen the dead raised in here? I have. Let's raise your hand. Let's see. Seen the dead raised? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8 or 9 people in here seen the dead raised. How many of you have somebody in your family was, I mean, literally dead and God raised them up? It's an amazing miracle, isn't it? I love it. I love to see. I've seen it about 4 different times, and it's amazing. But it's not the greatest miracle. You want to talk about the greatest miracle is when somebody goes down in the name of Jesus Christ. We should get excited about that. We should anticipate that. When it's happening, we should stop talking about all the things that we're talking and be obsessed with seeing somebody baptized. You ever notice the difference between how kids... I don't think it's just... The kids come up here and seeing somebody go into the water. There's something about when the kids see, when somebody gets baptized, what's the kids do? They want to run to see somebody get baptized. I truly believe that there's something about the purity of their faith to see somebody go down in the name of Jesus. I don't think it's just a physical thing. I think unconsciously they don't understand. They are seeing it through the eyes of what Jesus wants us to see. And so when somebody gets baptized, that's the greatest miracle. And we need to get excited about that. The devil wants to blind us. Corinthians 4:3-4 says, but if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. That's what the enemy wants to do, wants to take away our vision. Our vision's our reason. And I truly 100% believe that if we would learn to keep our eyes on Jesus, then despite of everything that happens in our world, we wouldn't care about it. I said, we wouldn't care about it. How many of you are on Facebook? Come on, it's no sin to be on Facebook. It's only a sin what you write on Facebook. How many of you have seen apostolics? All of you write, they write is the negative junk. Woe is me, this, that, junk point. Now, listen, I understand. I see all I see, Brother Krause, I see people. And I understand we've got to stand for truth and all that. But I see people, they post nothing but negative stuff. Negative this and negative that. And it'll tear down your faith reading it. When you, if you're posting that, hear me, I'm not trying to be mean or harsh this morning. When I see people continually posting that, it shows me that their eyes are on the junk and the negative. And they become obsessed with it. And it rules their life. And it does matter what you're looking at. If you don't believe me, ask Peter. When he's walking on water, he's doing something that he ordinarily couldn't do. It was a miracle. My grandpa Hill told me he walked on water once. He said it was frozen. That was the only way he could do it. He used to tell me as a kid, my grandpa, he said, son, I'm telling you, I promise you that I have walked on water. I used to go around thinking my grandpa walked on water. And I think I even went to school and told people that. But he didn't, and he did it on purpose. He didn't tell me it was frozen. Peter walked on water. It wasn't frozen. Imagine being able to walk on water. And the waves came. The Bible says, and the wind was boisterous, and the waves came. And the Bible says, he began to look at the waves, and he began to sink. As if he would have been able to walk on the water even if it was still. The fact is, what caused him to sink was what he was looking at. His vision was still there, but it was in the wrong direction. And he was looking at all the garbage and all the junk and all the malarkey, and he began to sink. And it wasn't until, Brother Wilson, that he got his eyes back on Jesus. And then he began to experience the miraculous again. The apostolic church, if we're ever going to get to the other side, we've got to make sure we are looking in the right direction. As the musicians go, we have got to look in the right direction. Stop focusing on the garbage. David said it best when he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. Magnify. Magnify to make bigger. How do you make something bigger that's omnipresent that fills all space? You can't make God any bigger than what he is. How do you make God any better? How do you magnify God? Somebody tell me. Yes, sir. And also, the further you're away from an object, the smaller it is. Right? Your hand's not that big, but if your hand is right here, it blocks everything in your vision. You become so consumed with it. Be something so small and minute as somebody's hand in your face. You can't see anything. You can't see nothing. When you start to move away, it gets smaller. That's what David was saying. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. In other words, get closer to him. The church needs to understand that our lives depend on what we are looking at. The church needs to have a vision. So I'm going to ask you this morning, what have you been focused on? What are you consumed with? What are you obsessed with? Are you obsessed with Jesus? Or are you obsessed with your problems? Because it's very easy, Sister Hammond, it's very easy for you to get so consumed with health issues and pain and family issues, and you're the pain of your son. You can lose sleep. How many of you are here this morning are willing, be honest with me, that have been consumed with issues and problems? Come on, I got my hand up. Come on, it's all around us. You're not a bad person because of it. You're human. But I'm here to remind you this morning that you need to stop looking in the direction other than Jesus. Because without our eyes on Jesus, we will sink. And an apostolic church is a church with a vision of Jesus. Hear me. The vision of Jesus should be the church's vision. Jesus came and He gave us our vision. He said, this is what I came for. I come to seek and save that which was lost. So what we need to ask ourselves is, what did Jesus see? What did Jesus look at? What was Jesus consumed with? What was the vision of Jesus? I'll tell you what it was. You get a picture of Him hanging on a cross. He had His own issues that He had to deal with. When He looked down, His outstretched arms with the blood trickling from the holes of His hands. And he looks down and He sees a big old nail sticking in His hand. But right beyond that was a voice that was saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Oh, he could have focused on His own self and His own problems. But what He saw was a soul beyond the pain. That's what pushed Jesus to say, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. That was the vision. Jesus' vision should be our vision. And we should look at souls. I understand as we stand this morning, I understand that we all deal with issues and we all deal with pain. We all deal with rejection. We're all dealing with sick people. We're all dealing with death in our life. Yesterday, a good pastor friend of mine died of the COVID, the Jeff Sanders. And his wife, Brother Davis, is right behind him. They expected Sister Sanders to pass away, and they expected Brother Sanders to live. But sadly, yesterday, about 9 o'clock in the morning, he passed away, and I got a call. And now his wife is expected to pass away. And it would be easy for the church to be so consumed with the things we've lost and the pains and the sickness and the hurts that we miss out on what we're getting ready to do. We're getting ready to baptize Sister Haley in Jesus' name. This is a good time for me to open up the invitation. If there's anybody else here that wants to be baptized in Jesus' name, I'll do it this morning. It's a perfect